Let me ask you this. How many of you, when you're having a conversation with somebody, kind of like to be heard by that person? Anybody? Does it make you feel good when it seems like someone is really listening to you? I believe people want to be heard. I believe a lot of the reasons for people feeling lonely, feeling separated from life, is because they don't feel heard. They don't feel anybody really cares enough to listen to their hurts, to their concerns, their desires, their efforts. People want to be heard, I believe. I'm continuing a series of sermons on the topic of a way of doing evangelism that I still am eager to do some training in here in this church. What I've decided to call it as listen and love evangelism. Listen and love. Hopefully I can get to start actually doing some training in this, which is a little different than what I'm doing right now, which is preaching and giving you information. That's a little bit different than actually doing it. So I'm kind of eager to have a time when we actually start practicing these things so that these skills we have when we are talking with someone about their relationship with the Lord. Today I want to speak about a passage of scripture that I believe has very much to do with what I am proposing here. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting with verse 18. I'll give you a few seconds here. I know when I'm doing my Kindle, it takes me a while. It takes me longer to actually find the passage of scripture with the Kindle than I do with a physical Bible where I just turn to the page. James chapter 1, verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. One thing I actually just for some reason discovered for the first time for me when I was in researching for my sermon here today is because what I wanted to talk about was the part that says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I realized the verse right before this has to do with evangelism. Let me read that verse once again. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the first fruits of all he created. He's talking about us being converted, us coming to Christ, entering into this new relationship. And how did this happen? Through the word of truth. That word was communicated, and this is how we became Christians. And that's the context. That's the context right here, the very verse before this. before verse 19, which is what I really wanted to focus on, I was kind of a little bit wondering, you know, how am I kind of twisting things by taking verse 19 and applying it to spreading the gospel? And God was saying, absolutely not. Look at the verse right before this. This is exactly the context. How can we spread the gospel? How can we speak the word of truth that others may become the first fruits of God's creations? There are three main things that I'm sure everyone in this room has heard before. If you haven't, you haven't been listening when you've been in church. Because I know this is said very often. We should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I want to take them in reverse order. First of all, I want to talk about being slow to anger. And verse 20 kind of tells us why we should be slow to anger. The reason we should be slow to anger is because when we get angry, our anger does not produce the righteousness of God. It does not produce. Sometimes we think, I guess the motive usually in us getting angry is that we want to change something that we think is wrong. And somehow we believe that our anger can actually fix what is wrong and make it right. What is wrong, if it has to do with the righteousness of God, people aren't being righteous the way they ought to, behaving unrighteously towards us, we kind of think our anger will fix that. But our anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God. So that's the reason why we shouldn't be angry. Now, once again, we're in the context of evangelism. When we are telling someone about or trying to communicate the gospel to somebody, trying to pass on the good news that we have heard and we've experienced, the good news that Christ died for us and that we can come to God not on the basis of how good we are and how hard we've worked and what a wonderful person we are and doing all enough of the right things to be good enough to get. That's not. The good news is that doesn't matter. The good news is God gives us grace. He wants us just as we are. That is awfully good news, and that's what we want to be telling people about. As we're doing that, the advice here is to be slow to anger. Now, how on earth, why would we be angry when we're trying to share the gospel? You know, people's behaviors sometimes are very wrong. And sometimes people believe things that are just absolutely abhorrent to the way we think, the way we feel. And we want to correct that. And it is so tempting just to turn to anger to accomplish the righteousness of God. So, as we are sharing the gospel with someone, we need to be slow to anger. This is what it is saying. Slow to anger. Well, I have some questions here. First of all, before I get to that, it seems to me, I could be wrong, but it seems to me that there's a large group of people who are not Christians who have the impression that Christians are angry. Have you noticed that? I was just listening to a podcast this week, and it was they were talking with he's some sort of professor of anthropology or psychology or something, and he was interested in the role that religion plays in societies, and basically, why is there such a thing as religion, is kind of what he was trying to uncover. He came to the conclusion that the role of religion happened when people started to be in larger groups, when people were just sort of tribes, like maybe extended families just kind of wandering around. To keep people in order, it's pretty easy to know who's in charge and who's telling who what to do and keep people in line that way. But when you get larger and larger amounts of people where you don't know people personally, you have to have some way of enforcing order. And so his theory is that's when religion came into being. Instead of having a person that was sort of in charge of things, we had to create a god who would punish bad behavior. That's his opinion of what religion's role is that the function of religion is that we talk about a god who will punish bad behaviors. And that's why it's valuable in society. You know, I react to that. I want to believe that God really is real, and he's not all about punishing people. But why does he have that impression? Why does this professor have that impression? Somehow, when he experiences Christians, among other religions, he sees it all about punishing bad behavior. He sees it about people wanting to control other people, being maybe angry about what they've done, and we've got to have some way to stop that. But we want to give a different message. We want to give the message of grace. And when we communicate anger, it kind of works against that. So a question I have is, how do we know we are communicating anger? What are some ways that we know that we're being quick to anger rather than slow to anger? How do you know that? What are some of the symptoms of being quick to anger? Well, some things occur to me. There's probably a whole lot more, but some things occur to me. Number one, when you start raising your voice, that could be an indication that anger is what's being communicated. And I will say, even if you don't intend, if you don't think you're being angry, don't intend to be angry, a raised voice will communicate anger. One thing that kind of makes me think that could be true is Brother Nick and I have very different styles of public speaking, as you probably have noticed. And I don't think Brother Nick speaks out of anger, out of trying to punish people, but sometimes his voice does get raised. And there are other, that's a style of preaching. That is, I think, there's nothing wrong with it. I will say this, there are people who are not believers who describe that style as hellfire and brimstone preaching. Have you ever heard of that? So when they hear the loud voices, what they hear is hellfire and brimstone. Many times that's absolutely not the topic of what people are talking about. But somehow that's the message they get. Raised voice, I guess is what I'm getting to the point of. When our volume level starts to get increased, that's an indication, perhaps, that what we are communicating is anger. One other symptom of communicating anger is interrupting people. I mean, have you ever been talking with someone that they say stuff that just gets under your skin? Have you found that it's hard not to just jump in and interrupt what they're saying and immediately counteract? Interrupting and giving counter arguments is one symptom. Right. We want to debate. Debates many times are about anger, as we've seen recently in public, our public sphere. Interrupting, debating, giving counter arguments that's one way when you find yourself doing that. I would propose that that's an indication that we are communicating anger. Another symptom of communicating anger is being critical, being judgmental. When we're angry, isn't that what we do? We point out what's wrong with whatever it is we're angry about. We communicate judgmentalism. Anger and judgmentalism go hand in hand so many times. Being critical, being judgmental is a symptom of being angry. Another symptom of being angry is focusing on the negatives of the person we are talking to. Focusing on the negatives. Whether we actually say anything about it, the fact that we, in our mind maybe, are focusing on the negatives of that person. It's hard to do that and not have that come out somehow. So that's some symptoms of how we can be communicating anger. We can be quick to anger. So what are the symptoms of being slow to anger? Well, I would propose just the opposite of what everything I've said before. Instead of raising your voice, speak maybe at a softer tone than the person we are speaking to. Instead of in quick, you know, rapid fire sentences, which is what usually happens when we're angry, have it be more relaxed and slow and soft. Interrupting, instead of interrupting, we let the other person speak, even if it's something we disagree with. Even if we're hearing things that we do not agree with, do not want to endorse, but we don't interrupt them. We don't immediately try to debate, counteract what they're saying. But instead, we listen to them. We can listen to them that's another thing I'm saying, going to talk about later. But being angry, if we interrupt and we immediately try to debate, it can come across as anger, as I said. But listening, letting them speak without interruption for as long as it takes for them to tell us what they want us to know, that is being slow to anger. Instead of being critical and judgmental, the opposite would be being affirmative, being edifying, Even if the person has not yet come to Christ, we can still be affirming, being edifying to the good that we see that they're trying to accomplish. Instead of being critical, being edifying. Instead of focusing on the negative others, instead choosing to focus on the positive. You know, for every person I've ever met, if I look for it long enough, and that's the key, if I look for it long enough, I can find something that that person is working very hard to actually obey the will of God. Some positive value that God has spoken to them that they are absolutely passionate about wanting to accomplish. There's other things that I can find that are not that way. And it's so easy to focus on those rather than on what they are trying to accomplish, what they are working hard, what their deep desires that are actually the will of God. What are they? And affirming those, focusing on those, would be the opposite of being quick to anger. That would be being slow to anger. Well, another thing this passage talks about is being slow to speak. Slow to speak. So a question I have, the verse right before this says that the way people become first fruits of God's creation is through the word of truth. Aren't words something that people say? Doesn't the Bible also say in Romans, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? And so aren't we supposed to speak? But right here, the very next verse, it says, be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Why should we be slow to speak? Shouldn't we be quick to speak the gospel? Well, you know something I have found, and maybe you have too, we can speak, but people may not listen. Have you noticed that? We can be quick to speak and say the absolute truth and say things that are the answer to a person's problems, and for some reason people don't actually listen to it. Have you found that to be true? Well, that happens when we are quick to speak rather than being slow to speak. Being slow to speak. Speaking is not the same thing as communicating. I can say all the right things, but that does not mean that the message actually gets through into the other brain. That's what communication is. I say something, and you hear it, and you understand it. You may still not agree with me, but at least you hear it, and you understand what it is I'm saying. That's the goal of communication. But we can be quick to speak, and that is certainly not the same thing as actually communicating. How do we know we are being quick to speak rather than slow to speak? Sometimes I think if we look at the opposite, maybe we understand what it really is saying by looking at what it's not, first of all. Being quick to speak, one indication that we are being quick to speak is when there are more words coming out of our mouth than there is from the other person. If you're in a conversation with somebody, just pay attention. Are there more words coming out of my mouth, or is there more words coming out of that person's mouth? And sometimes it might be helpful to actually record yourself in a conversation with someone to find out who takes up more airspace. Is it me And that's one indication I am being quick to speak. Just the amount of verbiage that comes out of our mouth. Another indication that we are being quick to speak is when we immediately start talking about our experiences when something that person says reminds us of them. We're talking about something with somebody and, well, they're describing something they went through and we go, oh, yeah, okay, let me tell you about when that happened with me or and the focus now becomes who? Me. And I start talking about me. That's, I would propose, is a symptom that we are being quick to speak. Now, it's a very, very valuable thing to empathize with people when they're saying that we really do know what they're going through because we have been through that ourselves. But rather than us being quick to talk about that, first thing, let's empathize. What are the emotions that they are feeling? We know that because that's probably what we felt. What are they experiencing? Let's focus on their experiences rather than ours. Another indication that we are being quick to speak is in the conversation, we quickly switch the conversation to talk about our desires, our thoughts, our passions, our opinions. When they start talking about theirs, someone we're talking to starts talking about something that they believe, something they desire, something they're passionate about, something they have an opinion about. And instead of letting them talk, we start talking about ours, which may be the same as theirs or may be different than theirs, but it doesn't matter. We're talking about us now. When that happens, we are being quick to speak rather than being slow to speak. So how do we know we're being slow to speak? Is when we're doing the opposite of those. When there are more words coming out of the other person's mouth than there are coming out of our mouth, we're being slow to speak. When we don't immediately start talking about our experiences when a person is talking about theirs, I'm not saying we never do that, but we do that with permission. We do that when they ask for it. Yeah, well then we can talk about ours. But if we just jump right in there and start talking about us, that is being quick to speak rather than being slow to speak. And when we, instead of switching the conversation to our desires, thoughts, and passions, we let them talk about their desires, their thoughts, their passions, their opinions, their experiences. When that is what is happening in the conversation, we are being slow to speak. Let me move on to the third point in this passage, being quick to listen. And I did this in reverse order because I wanted to end with the most important one. Being quick to listen. So one question that you may be asking that occurs to me is, how does listening help when the point of what I'm trying to do here is to spread the gospel? When I'm trying to communicate the message of the gospel of grace to them, how is me listening to them, how is that helping that? Doesn't that seem like that's a side thing? What on earth does that have to do with anything? Isn't evangelizing about us telling people things instead of listening to them? And I think I've already mentioned this a little bit previously, but People first have to know that they are being heard before they will value anything you say to them. If they don't think you have really heard them, whatever you tell them is going to matter much less. But when a person believes they have really been heard and understood, they're going to, what this person says is going to have a whole lot more impact. A whole lot more impact. That is why I believe it is very important to, first of all, make sure we are listening, that people know they are being heard. You know, another piece of the puzzle is that all of the burden isn't on us to communicate the message of God to them. Because you know something? The Holy Spirit has already been talking to them long before we are talking to them. God is already in that process. God is already tugging at their hearts. They are already kicking against the goads. The Holy Spirit has already been convicting them of the things they know they've done wrong. That is already in process. We don't have to do that. But we can make them feel comfortable enough with us so that they can tell us about what God has been doing with them. They only will do that if they know we are truly listening to them without judgment, without anger. How do we know we are being, instead of quick to listen, how do we know we're being slow to listen? Well, one indication that we're being slow to listen is this. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone? Someone says something that you know you want to respond to, and you're thinking of what you want to say to counteract and we're in this process where we're thinking about what we are going to say next, and this person is talking on and on, and we really aren't listening to that. Is that experienced? Has anyone experienced that? That is being slow to listen. That is one indication that we are being slow to listen. When we are eager to get to what we have to say in response to what they just said, rather than being eager to have that person tell us more about themselves. Being eager to hear more, even though what we've heard we want to immediately start fixing. Being eager to tell me more. I want to hear you. Hear what you are trying to tell me. Another way that we know that we're being quick to listen is something I did refer to more previously, is when there's more words coming out of their mouth than there is coming out of our mouth. That's one indication we are being quick to listen. And kind of related to what I said before, another indication we are being slow to listen is that when we ask questions about what we want to know about them, rather than paying attention to what they're already telling us. You know, one of the role of a question, and this is something in my counseling that they've really hammered on reducing the numbers of questions you ask people. And you might think, why on earth would that be valuable? Well, think about it. When I'm in a conversation with someone, or when a conversation is happening, it goes in some direction or other, right? It's like a car, there's a steering wheel in the car, somebody is driving that steering wheel. And whatever the steering wheel goes, that's the direction the conversation is going to go. When we ask a question, what we're doing is taking the steering wheel and giving it a turn. We are taking control of where the conversation goes. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a little different from really listening to what another person says. Somebody may be trying to tell us something that's very important to us, but we hear some little minor thing that we're interested in. We say, well, how about that? Tell me more about this. And yeah, they'll answer the question, but they've kind of got off from what they really want to tell us. That's one way we can be slow to listen, and it sounds counterintuitive, by asking too many questions. Especially if we ask questions that are more about our curiosity than it is about them telling us what's important to them. Being silent, there's some things that keep us from being quick to listen. Some things that keep us from being quick to listen. One of them is we believe something that is not really true. We believe, and I speak from my own personal experience here, that just being quiet, or by listening to what somebody says, by them telling us what they want us to know, me listening to them actually is endorsing what they're saying. You ever felt that? If I don't jump in and try to correct it, that means I'm just endorsing what they're saying. And that drives us to not want to really listen to what they're saying. We want to correct it. But you know, being quick to listen. When we let that person talk, it is not the same thing as us endorsing. I can listen to somebody with the purpose of communicating to them, I really do hear what you are saying. Let me even tell you what I hear you saying. And this is what I hear you saying, and then I tell them something that I believe is absolutely false. But I'm letting them know this is what I hear you saying. That's the first thing that needs to happen. People really need to know that we hear them. But we kind of feel like if we don't correct it immediately, we're endorsing their wrong thinking, their wrong behavior, or something. But listening is not the same thing as endorsing. Another thing is being silent. Like I said, remember when there are more words coming out of our mouth than the other person's mouth, we're not. But at the same time, just being silent is not the same thing as listening. Now, have you noticed that on the other end? You're talking with someone. You want to communicate something to them, and they're sitting there. Maybe their eyes are looking at you, and they're not saying a thing. And then you find out later they're actually thinking about the party they're going to tomorrow. And everything you said has not gone into their brain. Has anyone experienced something like that? Perhaps with your children. Right about that. Being silent is not the same thing as listening. just being silent is not the same thing as listening. Listening is letting people know that we are hearing what they are telling us. Letting them know. And how do we let people know that we are hearing what they're saying? One very effective way of doing this is by telling them, this is what I hear you saying. I hear you saying this. I hear you saying this. And it's in counseling talk, that's called a reflection. We are reflecting back the information that they have been giving us. We're letting them know, yes, it is getting into my brain. I really do hear what you are telling me. And sometimes saying the exact words that they just said to us is a way of letting them know, hey, I actually did hear you. But if we go a little bit further than that and actually paraphrase what they said to us, what they're really trying to say to us, that lets a person know they just don't have a tape recorder. you're not a parrot just, you know, mouthing the exact phrases that they're saying, but you actually do understand what they're trying to say. And even using metaphors. You're telling me, wow, it really seems like, you're telling me people are always on your case. It's like you're living in a world and everyone is just throwing arrows at you. If that's the message they're trying to tell us, we can use metaphors to let them know, this is what I hear you telling me. Once again, even if I don't believe it, even if I don't think it's accurate, but I can let them know I hear what you are trying to tell me. Reflecting back. Instead of asking questions about what we're interested in knowing, reflecting back what I hear them what we hear them saying. Let me read the passage once again. James chapter 1, verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I want to invite us today to start spreading the gospel by first of all being quick to listen, by first of all being slow to speak, and being slow to be angry. In fact, let's spread the gospel by doing more listening, less talking, less being angry, and more being loving and gracious. I believe if we do that first, We will have opportunities to share with people the wonderful grace of God that we want so desperately to give to them. But once they know that we have been quick to listen and slow to speak, and they don't detect that we've been quick to anger with them, that we've been slow to anger with them, they'll hear it. They'll hear it, and then they can make a decision about what they want to do with the call of God on their life. Once again, I'm very eager to actually do some training in this so we can actually practice these skills. And then, after we've practiced and developed these skills, or even while we're learning them, actually start practicing this with people who do need to know the Lord. That is my wish, that's my desire, that's my goal. But don't wait for me to do this training before you try this. Let's try this even now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have been gracious to us, that you have been eager to show us the grace of God even from the very beginning of creation. Father, I pray that we would have the kind of heart towards people around us that you have, that we would see the preciousness of each individual that we come into contact with, the preciousness about that person that you see, that you validated by saying, you know what, that person is so valuable, I'm going to send Christ to die for that person. Lord, may we see the same things you see that motivates you to love those around us so much. May we have that same love, Lord. And may we be able to communicate that love in a way that people can see it and understand it and feel it. For these things we pray.